Greetings. Welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now at Mishnah Gimel of the first parak of Masechet Bava Kama, and again, the Mishnah presents just general, very succinct statements that will later be fleshed out throughout the Masechet. We're on Daf Yod Dalet Amud Bet at the top. Shum Kesef, Shave Kesef, Bifnei Beitin, V'al Pi Edim, B'nei Chorin, B'nei Vrit, V'anashim Mechla HaNezek, V'anizak V'amazik, B'tashlumin. Shum kesef, appraisal of money, unclear what this means. Shavek kesef, we know what that means, but perhaps not. And the rest of it all plays out. We'll now go through the Gemara. My shum kesef, what does shum kesef mean? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, shum ze lo yehe ela bekesef, which means appraisals must be done by evaluating the monetary value of the damage and of the thing being seized. So now we have support. Tanina lahadu tana rabbanan, parash izika talit. If an animal damaged some clothing, talit shizika para, or vice versa. Einomim tetzei para, but talit talit para. We don't say, okay, one was worth the other, and so then we'll just call it even. Ela shamin ota b'damim. Everything is evaluated monetary value, and then wherever the overage or the underage is, payment is made for reparations. Okay, shave kesef. What does that mean? Detan rabbanan shave kesef. Now notice again, as we saw earlier, the later Tanaim are making a drasha on the Mishnah. So Shavek Kesef is a very early Mishnah, and later Tanaim are saying, Malameh, this teaches she'en beitin nizkakim elan chasim she'esh lehen achrayut. This teaches that beitin only seizes land for payment. Now how do we get that from Shavek Kesef? V'alim kadam nizak v'tafas metaltalim, that if the nizak went ahead and seized some goods for payment, beitin govin lo mehem, then beitin allows him to collect from that. So in other words, the rule is that Beit Din only puts a writ of seizure on land, but if the Nizak goes ahead and on his own seizes goods for payment, Beit Din allows him to keep that for collection, or we praise it and keep however much is appropriate. And somehow we got that whole rule, both those rules, from the word Shavah Kesef. So let's see how. Amar Shavah Kesef, Lame Chen Beit Din is Kalkin Lame Chasin Shishtan Achrayut, my Mashma. How do we get that? I'm Rabba Barula, Davar HaShaveh Kol Kesef. Means it has to be something that's worth whatever money is paid. My Nihu, Davar Shein Lo'na. Meaning that the only thing that Beit Din can use is Shaveh Kesef, meaning it's worth whatever people will pay. As opposed to goods which are subject to the rules of Ona'ah, as we'll see in the fifth parak above Metziah, in the fourth parak above Metziah, which is price gouging. Karka has no din of ono. Whatever the market will bear, that's fine. But that doesn't work because avadim u'shtarot nami en lehen ono. The din is that avadim and shtarot are considered like karka for this purpose. There's no din of ono. And therefore, it should be that they would be able to be used for seizure, but they're not able to be used for seizure. Or the Beit Din will not order that a shtar be seized for a payment. So that can't be what how Shavah Kesef leads to that rule. Ala amar Rabba Barula. So that means that we didn't understand Rabba Barula correctly. Davar hanikne bekesef. In other words, only something can be purchased with kesef. Remember, metaltalin are purchased by raising it up, by pulling it, hagbah, mesir, mashicha, some physical interaction with the item. As opposed to karka, which I can give you kesef here and sell you land on the, buy your land on the other side of the world. But the same problem arises. Avedim ushtarot naminikne bekesef. You can buy them bekesef, and you can't use them for collection. Alam Ravashi Shava Kesef Velo Kesef, meaning that you can only use something which is Shava Kesef and not Kesef itself. V'hanikulu Kesef Ninhu. Any goods are called Kesef, meaning even Avadim Shtarot are somehow called Kesef. Shava Kesef, we say, in this context, means only land. Normally it means other things. So now Rami Le Rav Yehuda Barchin, Nal Rav Huna Beredu Rav Yeshua, Ravashi had this teaching. Rav Huna Beredu Rav Yeshua was challenged by a later Rav Yehuda, not the famous Rav Yehuda. He said, Tana Shavah Kesef Lama Chen Beit Din Nizkakim L'Chasim Sheshna Achrayut. He took the Braita, which we saw at the beginning of this piece, and he challenged it. He brought a contradiction from the famous thing that we've already seen several times in this Masechet. V'atani Yashiv Rabot Shavah Kesef Fidlu Subin, that you're allowed to pay with goods. And our Mishnah said, based on the way we interpreted, you can only allow to pay with land, which is called Shavah Kesef. So, Hachamayaskin and Biyatmei. Alright, we're talking here about heirs. When it comes to heirs, you can only seize, land. Because the land becomes, a lien to the debt. But remember the end of the Braita, that if the Nizak went ahead and seized the goods, we allow him to collect. But we're talking about Yitomim, we don't allow anybody to seize goods from heirs for a debt that their father incurred, and that we would take them away from him. We wouldn't allow him to collect from there. So the answer is, in other words, what happened is, a fellow's ox gored and did damage. The Nizak went ahead and grabbed some of his goods, and then he died. So in that case, we only will put a writ of seizure for the land, because after all these Yitomim. But if the guy who had seized it while the Mazik was alive, then we'll allow him to keep it and collect from there. Okay, the next phrase in the Mishnah was Bifnei Beitin. So what's that excluding? Beprat lemochan achasav achakach holech lebeitin. As opposed to somebody who sells his land and then they go to Beitin, so they can't seize from the land. So shmamina lovo machan achasav achakach bala Beitin and Beitin govin lomehen. That doesn't work. You're going to tell me that if a guy borrows money and then he sells his land, Beitin doesn't go and collect the land from whoever it is? So, Ella probably Beitin had yotot. So, Bifnei Beitin cannot be to exclude a situation where the land was sold before they got to Beitin. It must be that it's saying it has to be in front of Beitin of Mumchim, which means smuchim, and not a regular Beitin of had yotot as we have. Now, api edim, what does that mean? Prat lemode biknas v'charkach ba'u edim. As opposed to a situation where the person was mode biknas, and we'll see that that may refer to nezek of a tam, when the person comes to Beit Din and says, my animal did this damage, and then edim come afterwards, shu patur. Now, this is a machloket about mode biknas v'charkach ba'u edim. We all know that mode biknas patur, and if Edim, on the other hand, came and testified you did something, then you admit to it, too late, you have to pay. What happens if you come and admit to it, which would be a poter, but then Edim come and testify that it really happened anyways? So, according to this position, you'd be patur. Saying al-pi Edim means that the first information comes al-pi Edim. So, ha-nech le-mandam ha-mod ha-b'knas v'chakach ba'u Edim patur. That only works according to the opinion that says, indeed, you're patur in that case. Al-mandam ha-mod ha-b'knas v'chakach ba'u Edim chayav, but according to the opposite position, ma'ika le-memar, how will they interpret the Mishnah? So, seifa yitzterichale, the answer is that we needed it for the end of the Mishnah, which is b'nei chorin u'v'nei brit. That the Mishnah said that it has to be Edim that are b'nei chorin and b'nei brit. What does that mean? B'nei chorin l'mutei avadim, to exclude avadim who cannot be witnesses. B'nei brit l'mutei avdei kochavim, and that excludes non-Jews who can't be witnesses. Utsricha, why do we need both of them? De'i ashmin an eved, if you told me that an eved can't be an aid, shum de'en lo yachas, because an eved has no family connections. Even though an eved is quasi-Jewish, he has no family connections, and therefore we would say, yeah, because he really has no responsibilities towards anyone else, we can't trust him. V'nochri, de'ish lo yachas, but a non-Jew has his own family relations, he has liabilities and obligations towards his family members, perhaps he could be an aid. Emalo, v'yashmin anochri, and if all, we were only told about anochri, a non-Jew, shum de'lo yashaych mitzvot, because he's totally out of the realm of mitzvot. Well, Eved Ashach mitzvot, and Eved Kanani is chayav some mitzvot, emolo, perhaps we could trust him. So tzricha, therefore, we need to say both of them are invalid as witnesses. Now, v'anashim michlal hanezek, that women are also included in the entire world of nezek. I mean, hanimili, how do we know that that's true? Now, that, by the way, means that a woman who owns an animal and the animal does damage, she has to pay. If a woman is the owner of the thing that's damaged, she collects payment. If the woman is herself damaged, she collects payment equally with men. In Hanimili, how do we know this? I'm reviewing Amarav, and this is pieces of this we've seen elsewhere. Chentan Rabbi Shmuel Makra, Ish o Isha ki yasu mikoch chatot Hashem, right? And if whether a man or a woman does any one of the chataim, this is in the context of Me'ila, Yishma katub Isha le'ish l'chol onchin shevatorah. So right there, the Torah said Ish o Isha, if they do any sins, so therefore men and women are equal for all purposes of onchin, for all culpability and punishments. The Rabbi Lozer Tana, he has a different approach. At the beginning of the presentation of civil and criminal law in Mishpatim, says, and even though Pshat is Lifnehem is the Beit Din, the way we understand it is Lifnehem in front of everyone. So men and women are equal for all civil and criminal law. So there's sentencing, or should we say punishments, and there's also for penology they're equal, and now for liability and obligation and responsibility they're equal. We have a third one, from each ish o isha, if an ox gores and kills a man or a woman, shvakatuv isha le'ish, So for all battery, assault, and homicide, and everything else, men and women are equal. Why do we need all three places for the Torah to equate men and women? If we only had the first pasuk about onshim, so I would have said, the Torah has compassion on her, wants to make sure that she should have a kapara, and therefore the Torah says she should have punishment, because punishments are always seen as a kapara. Aval dinin, but when it comes to civil and criminal law, ish tabar masao matanin, we would say it only applies to men, because men generally involved in the world of commerce. Ishalo. Vyashvin and dinin, if the Torah only told me v'eile mishpatim, we would say, kihecha de dehavi lachiyuta, woman has to live also. And she has to be able to collect her salary, and she has to be able to not have things taken from her, etc. Aval kapara, when it comes to kapara, the onshim, ish tabar mitzvahin, men who have many more mitzvot, we'd think the Torah is concerned about them having atonement if they do something wrong. Yishalav bat mitzvah lo. A woman who's not obligated in as many mitzvot, perhaps the Torah doesn't have the same compassion on her to make sure that she gets punishment and therefore has kapara. V'yashmin and hanitarti, if we had both of those, hachamishim kapara, hachamishim chiyuta, I would have a ready explanation why the Torah extended both punishments and civil and criminal law to both men and women. When it comes to execution or when it comes to homicide, I would have said ish tabar mitzvah l'shalim kofar. If a man is killed, he's fulfilling mitzvot. So therefore, the owner of the ox that killed him has to pay a kofar. Ishalo v'yashmin and kofar. And if I only had the last pasuk, I would have said mishum deika ibud neshama. Somebody died, so of course you have to pay. Avalhani tarti the lake ibud neshama. But the first two, civil and criminal law and punishments, where that nobody died, emalo tzricha. Therefore, I need all three. Okay, the last piece in the Mishnah was Hanizak v'Mazik b'Tashlumin, that the Nizak and the Mazik cooperate in the payments. Now, this clearly is referring to a case of Shor Tam when the Mazik only pays half. Itmar. Here we go. Famous Machloket, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua. Palga Nizka, Chatzi Nezek, which typically is about Tam. Rav Papa Mar Mamona, he says it's Mamon, or it's a regular financial liability. No, it's a fine. Let's see why. Papa Mar Mamona, why? Kesavar Stam Shvarim La Becheskat Shimur Kaimet. Generally, oxen are not Becheskat Shimur. They're not assumed to be watched. Uvedini Dibai Lishlumi Kule. And therefore, really, you should have to pay the whole thing. In other words, we don't assume that an ox, even if it's never gored before, is automatically going to be serene and nonviolent, and therefore, really, the first time it gores, you should have to pay the whole thing. And the Torah had compassion that you only have to pay half because really your animal had never demonstrated any violent tendencies. When Rav Yeshua Mark Knasa, he says it's a Knas. He says the assumption is that an ox is quiet and is Chazkat Shimur, meaning that it doesn't need to be watched. So really, you shouldn't have to pay anything, because it's absolutely a surprise that he did anything violent. But the Torah find you, so you'll make sure to watch your animal with an extra guard, knowing that if this, up until now, peaceful animal does damage, you're still going to have to pay half. Now, let's test it. Our Mishnah says that the Nizak and Mazik cooperate in Tashlumin. According to Papa, this works. Hashach Nizak with Tashlumin. Then I understand how the Nizak is cooperating in the Tashlumin because he's giving up half, as it were. Really, he should be getting the whole. So he's giving up half. Madar Palga Nizka Knasa, but according to Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, who says that the half payment is a Knas, Hashdalav Didei Shakel, after all, the Nizak is getting something that's really not coming to him. But Tashlumin Ite, so how can you say that the half that he's not getting is sort of something he's giving up? The half he is getting is something that shouldn't be coming to him. So, this goes back to Pchat Nevela that we saw a couple daf earlier, which is that when the Nizak collects the dead animal, the valuation is made at that point, and if the Nevela right now is worth 200, so 200 is immediately knocked off whatever the Mazik has to pay, even though if by the time they get to Din, the Nevela is worth less. So, Pchat Nevela, Tana L'Reisha, Tashlumin Ezek. We already had that in the second Mishnah that said Tashlume Nezek, and we learn from that Malamed Shabali Matapim Nevela, that teaches that the owner of the dead animal, he has the responsibility. It's his carcass, and if it depreciates on his watch. So the answer is Chada B'tam, Chada Mu'ar. We learned it twice. In other words, Tashlumei Nezek and not all of Nezek. Remember the Diuk? Tashlumei Nezek is there to teach you about once, and here Anizak Van Mazik Tashlumin is here to teach you a second time about Pchat Nevela. Of course, that's only according to Rahuna Breda of Shua. According to our Papa, Anizak Van Mazik Tashlumin is a very straightforward statement that they're splitting it. Now, Utsricha. So according to Rahuna Breda of Shua, who said that Pchat Nevela was taught twice, why does it have to be taught twice? Di Yashmin and Tam, if we only were told about this in the case of a Tam, Mishum Dakati Lo Ayat. Sure, because the Mazik's animal had not yet been attested to as far as its violent tendencies. And therefore, the Nizak has to hold on to his carcass, and if it depreciates, it's on his watch. Mu'ad emalo, but if my animal was Mu'ad, I would think that I should collect the Nevela, and that I have to pay him back, and if the Nevela depreciates, at that point, it's at the point of payment that we're going to estimate it, which means I, the Mazik, I'm going to lose more. V'yashmin and Mu'ad, if I was only told about Mu'ad, Mishum da kamashalim kulei. Anyways, he's paying the whole thing, so at least the Nizak has to hold on to the Nevela. Aval Tam, emalo. In the case of Tam, where you're only paying half, maybe the Mazik has to take responsibility for the Nevela. So Tzuricha, therefore we need to be told that Pchat Nevela goes to the Nizak in both cases. All right. Toshma, Ma bin Tam le Mu'ad. What's the difference between Tam and Mu'ad? Remember, we're still riffing on Rav Papa versus Rav Huna, Rav Shua, Mamon versus Kanas. What's the difference between them? Shatam, Mishalim Chatzin Ezek Migufo. A Tam pays Chatzin Ezek, and he pays it from his own body, which means that you sell it, and then from the proceeds pay half. Umuad, Mishalim Nezek Shalim Min Aliyah. A Muad pays full Nezek, and he pays it from land, from Meitav. Vimita, but if we really agreed with Rav Huna, Rav Shua, we should say, Litni Nami Ha Tam in Mishalim Al Piatzmo, Muad Mishalim Al Piatzmo. Because if Chatzin Ezek is a Knas, then you wouldn't pay if you admitted it. Because if you came to Beit Din and said, my up until now peaceful animal went and gored another animal and killed it, you'd be Potter if it's Knas. And that should be another difference between them. And we didn't mention that as a difference. Right? So Tana V'Shir, the answer is this is not an exhaustive list. This is an example. So my shir to high shir, remember our rule of rhetoric, is that the Tanoim will never give a list of examples and leave only one off. They'll either give a few examples and leave some off, or they will give an exhaustive list. So to prove that our omission is not meaningful, you have to find other omissions. So the answer is shir chatzi kofer. He left off chatzi kofer, which is that if an animal that's muad kills a person, the animal is killed, and the owner has to pay kofar, some ransom for the death. But if a tam kills a person, then the animal is killed, of course, but the owner does not have to pay chatzi kofar. So, imishim chatzi kofar, lav shiurahu. He says, that's not a shiur. Haman, Rabbi Yosei Glili, damar tam mishalim chatzi kofar. Rabbi Yosei Glili disagrees and maintains that a tam pays half kofar. So that's not a difference, which means that there's still only one item left off, which is moda b'knas. And that means that it supports Rav Papa, who says that Chatzin Nezek is Mammon, and you'd have to pay if you admitted it. So Toshma, let's see. I meet Shori at Ploni. If a guy comes to Beit Din and says, my Shor killed this guy, or Shor Osho Ploni, or this guy's ox, Hareze Mishalim Apiatzmo, and you have to pay. My love betam, and that seems to support Rav Papa. So my love betam, aren't we talking about a short tam supporting Rav Papa? Did you have to pay even if you admit it? Lo, b'muad, we're talking about a Shor Muad. Aval tam mai, what's the din of a tam? Hachinami dein mishalim al piatzmo. Indeed, you don't pay. So, ihachi adatani seifa, look at the next part of that braita. Hemit shoriet avdosho ploni, my ox killed that guy's eved, which of course is a flat fee of shloshim, which is a knas. Ein mishalim al piatzmo. You don't pay if you admitted it. Because you'd motive a knas. So, liflig v'linin b'didei, they should then distinguish in the statement, medvarmoim b'muad, that in the first case, Hemit Shoriat Ploni, that's your chayiv only if it's a muad. Aval b'tam n'mishalim pa'atzmo, but if it's a tam, you don't pay. This seems to support the idea that of Rav Papa that all these payments are mamon, and you're chayiv if you admit it on your own. The only case, situation where you're not, is if the payment itself is a payment of knas, which is shloshim shalavid. The answer is kulab muad kamari. That entire bright is just talking about a shor muad. So if you admit that your animal killed somebody or killed somebody's animal, you have to pay. But killed an eved, you don't have to pay because it's a knas. Toshma, let's see, zakal, kol mashalim yoter al mashizik and mashalim piatzmo. We have a general rule that anytime you pay more than you damaged, that's called a knas and you don't pay based on your own admission. My love, hapachot mashizik mishalim. Doesn't that prove that anytime you pay less than your mazik, you do pay? Thus proving that half nezik by definition is mamon. Lo, hakamashizik mishalim. All it means to say is that anytime you pay more, meaning you don't pay exactly what you damaged, then it's called a knas. Right? Aval pachot my hachinam de lo mishalim. But if it's less, just like more, you don't pay. So if that's the case, why did the Braita say this is the rule? Anytime you pay more than you damaged, let it say simpler. Anytime you pay not based on the amount, not the, you don't pay the amount that you damaged, that'll tell you if you paid more, you paid less, it's a knas. The answer is tiyufta. You're right, we have disproven Rav Huna, Brady Rav Shua, we've supported Rav Papa from that Braita, that Chatzi Mamon is a, Chatzi Nezek is Mamon. V'hilchata, what's the halacha? Palganiz Kaknasa, we pass on Rav Huna Rav Shua. Tiyufta V'hilchata, we just disproved him and now we're passing on him? Says In. You're right, why? Tam Amai Havit Tiyufta, why do you think we disproved him? Why do you think we refuted him so well? Shunalokhtani Kamoshi Zik, because the Braita didn't say any time you don't pay exactly what you damaged. So the answer is lo psikole. That it couldn't say because it's not true in every case. Chatzi nezek tzorot, which we saw at the very opening of the Masechet, as the special chatzi nezek that you pay when an animal kicks rocks in Rishut HaRabim and they go off in Rishut HaYachid and do damage. Hilchatag mir la demonahu. There's a halacha l'Rosh V'Sina that you have to pay half nezek, and that's mamon. Shumachi lo k'tani. So therefore, the Braita couldn't say anytime that you pay different than what you damaged, then you don't pay based on your own admission. It's not true because Chatzin Ezek Tzorah wrote, you pay half, and yet you pay based on your own admission, because that's Momon. And so therefore, Rav Huna Rebbe Shua has not been refuted, and we have other reasons to say that Rav Huna Rebbe Shua really is the halacha that it's a knas. V'hashadamat palganizka knasa, and now that we've come to that conclusion, haikalba da'achal imri, if a dog eats a sheep, you know, it's something weird. Mishunu da achla tanigola, or a cat eats a chicken. Something very unusual. Mishunahu, that's odd. V'lo magbinim b'bavel. Therefore, it's a chatzi nezek. Therefore, it's a knas. And therefore, a knas can only be collected by a beitin of mumchim, it can't be collected in bavel. Bavel, the cases can't be hurt. V'hani mili b'ravi. That's only if the devoured animals, the prey, are huge. A bazutri, but if they're a little chicken or a little sheep, then orchehu, then that's not unusual. In other words, each case has to be judged. This is something that's a usual kind of damage, nezek shalim, it's mamon, it can be done and dealt with anywhere. Or is it a bizarre thing, it's therefore a knas, chatzi nezek, and can't be dealt with outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'tofes lo mafkina minei. And by the way, if the nizak is tofes, we don't take it away from him. And if the Nizak says, I want you to be Koveh's man, I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael and sue this guy, we set it up. And if the Mazik doesn't go, we throw him in Cherem for not going to the Beit Din. In any case, we put the Mazik into Cherem until he gets rid of that dog or ties him up. This animal's a damaging animal. How do we know? Midu Rabbi Natan. The Tan Rabbi Natan Omer, Rabbi Natan taught, Minayin Shalei Gadel Adam Kelev Rabbi Toch Beito. How do I know you're not allowed to raise a violent dog in your house? Vayamid Sulam Ra'u B'toch Beito. You're not allowed to put a shaky ladder in your house. Remember, they used to have their lofts inside the house with a ladder. So how do I know you're not allowed to put dangerous things in and around your house? Tan Rabbi Omer, Lo Tassim Davim Beitacha. The halacha where the Torah commands us to build a parapet, a ma'akeh, around the roof, is not limited to a ma'akeh, but it's true about anything that would be damaging and that would be threatening around the house has to be moved away, and you have to make sure that things are safe around the house. All right, we'll pause at this point and pick up with the final mishnah in the first parak, on Daf Tet Vav Amud Bet, and in the next podcast, Mirat Hashem will complete our study of the first parak of Masechet Bava Kama, and the first of the 30 prakim of Seder Nezikin, of Masechet Nezikin.